Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezras Hashem Shalom Bayis Shir number 520. We are going to talk about how to cope and manage and handle negative feelings that come up in marriage, in every marriage, when, you know, there is a long-term relationship like that. In theory, there should be no negative feelings in an ideal marriage, but practically speaking, it is impossible. We all have it. It all happens, so therefore we should know how to cope with negative feelings. Feelings in general constitute a major part of a human experience, and it's very, feelings is not to be discounted. You know, when Hashem gives us a commandment, don't pain another person with words, and there's so many things in the Torah about sensitivity to people's feelings and the value of feelings. So it's very important to know that we're not in any way discounting the consideration and the sanctity of a person's feelings. But at the same time, we need to know how to handle those feelings, navigate them when they become negative, and use our minds and our neshamas to feel properly, and if we didn't, to adjust it. You know, we heard people say you shouldn't feel like that. Or you may have been told as a child that your feelings were bad and wrong. So we need to understand what that means. So he brings down from the pasuk of Lysisna Esachicha Bilvavecha, you're not supposed to hate your brother in your heart. It means obviously everyone in Klal Yisrael, brother, sister. And suppose that brother sets fire to your house or does great harm. Is there a way to avoid hating that person? Is Hashem demanding an impossible thing from us? Is it possible not to feel anger or even some hatred when you were offended or aggrieved or hurt? So one needs to understand that initial feelings, when provoked, may not be under your control. They are reflexive in nature and then not considered good or bad. That's why in the Chafetz Chaim, it's brought down in the Be'er Mayim Chaim, I have to look it up, that while a person is yelling at you and provoking you and you respond back, that you're not responsible for, because what are you supposed to do? Your heart is not a stone. But he says, if you work on your midas taivais, it's possible to overcome that. So, but the real idea is that the feelings happen. But the question is once the incident occurs and the feelings are there, now what do you do with them? And that is under our control. And then you can have good or bad, whether you can decide to foster and continue that. So, for example, you know, even with Shmira Seinayim, watching one's eyes, right? The first time you want accidentally saw something, you know, he saw it, or, you know, and he looks away, and that's it. He was mekayim the mitzvah even of Leis Asuru. It's if he allows that look to linger 10 seconds more, you know, staring and things like that, that's when the basically the continuation of it by choice is the issue. So Koheles says in English, it's from Koheles, Perek Zion Pasuk Test, that anger rests in the bosom of a fool. The chek silim yanuach. Yanuach means it rests there. Anger rests there. What does it mean it rests there? It means that he allows it to stay there. No, there's no, you can't, we're not expecting you to avoid the initial feeling of anger when provoked. But you do have control how long you wish to hold on to that anger. And Shlomo says, if that initial anger that you had, Yanuach, decides to stay, then you're indeed a silly, you're foolish. We should be able to remove ourselves from that anger. Sometimes it takes hard work. If it was a serious wound, it takes hard work, but it's doable. True. Same thing is with hatred. Someone hurt us badly, we may feel hatred towards that person, but it should be momentarily. We should find ways to remove ourselves of those negative feelings. And the idea is, when it says "Leisikayim veLeisitar" in the pasuk, don't take a grudge, and then "Va'ahavta l'riacha kamoicha," and then it says "Ani Hashem," "Ani Hashem." So the Riva says that. Why does it say "Ani Hashem" there? That if a person would be aware of the "Ani Hashem" of Hashem, then in his intense love for us, we would be so joyful that we wouldn't even feel that provocation of that person hurting us. It's like, for example, a person told over the phone that he won $1 million, millions of dollars in a lottery. And in his rush to the phone, or to tell somebody, whatever it is, he bumps his knee against the table. And he would normally feel sharp pain, but now it's totally ignored and eclipsed. The overwhelming joy at his good fortune eclipses the pain. So the same thing with a love between a husband and wife. If the negative feelings occur, and they would occur, it should be momentary. It right away should be eclipsed by their love. It's called batel b'rayv or batel b'shishim even. That the bittel, basically it overcomes it and overwhelms it. Till the whole thing, it has a din of kasher. Same thing over here. Your positive feelings should be so strong that it would overcome any negative feeling. And if there is a problem, you could deal with the problem. No one's saying you bury it under the rug, but you communicate in a healthy way. So he brings down an interesting, fascinating story. It's a beautiful story of a couple that was married for over 62 years. And obviously in 62 years, they had some sharp, angry exchanges at times, but the positive overweighed the negative. They had a beautiful marriage. And the grandmother, the person we're talking about, lived to see many grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and she had a tremendous hakaras hatayif for this bracha, and decided in her hakaras hatayif to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say Kedusha, with go to a minyan, and to say Kedusha for every single one of her descendants daily. So in this person's neighborhood, there were many shuls and shtiblach. Some had multiple minyanim for shachris. So the grandmother, she would get up at dawn at the first minyan, say a Kedusha, hurry to the other minyanim. She would catch other Kedushas. She finished these rounds until she went to the first minyan, where now there's a second minyan. And basically, by attending the various minyanim at staggered times in the morning and again by mincha, she was able to accumulate those amount of Kedusha, the amount of her children and grandchildren. What is this? This is an unusual feeling and expression of Hakaras HaTov that filled her personality so strongly that although her husband may have had differences with her, he had great respect and ultimately love for her, and he would proudly say, I say only two Kedushas a day, and my wife says 28 Kedushas every day. There's a Hakaras HaTov, there's a respect which brings to a greater love. Rapam points out that a husband may come home after having an upsetting day at work and find toys and games thrown over the living room, and he may say angrily, can't you have the living room clean for heaven's sake? And then he says there's a childless couple who would give anything to be blessed with a living room strewn with Lego pieces. If one only appreciated the gift of having a child, the annoyance of the toy and Lego strewn living room would fade into significance. And it is sometimes an assign, you know, when some people just like they can't handle difficult, sad things in life, difficult things in life. People have a hard time dealing with simchas in life too. And it's human nature. We have to work through it. But people get very nervous when they have, Baruch Hashem, now it's a simcha, and now they have to make a wedding, or a vart, or a child or Einikel is born and there's a bris, Baruch Hashem, or a pinyan ben, Baruch Hashem. And it makes sense. We get nervous sometimes who we're going to invite and how we're going to have the food and how it's going to be arranged and brachis and kibbudim and all this. It's a separate subject in and of itself. But the bottom line is it could cause some stress. But then we look and think how many people would yearn to have that shidduch, to have that simcha, and to have a child, to be zoicha to a bris, or to a kiddush, if it's a girl, or to a pinyan ben, and with zoicha to that. So with all the worries and normal frustrations that could sometimes come, it's important to also be aware of the chasadim and taivas that should override it. That's what Rapam was talking about. You know, a messy house with the kids playing, and some of them very kvetchy, and all of that. And you think about that childless couple who would give anything to have that bracha. Married couples too, you may have some bumps in the road and everything. But it's a Hispanicness to think about. If you have a marriage and you have a home and you have a husband or a wife and they're decent people, not flawed people. I'm not talking abusers, it's a separate parsha in and of itself. But if you have a good person but a flawed person, good in heart, decent by nature, but has some character flaws that cause aggravation, that need to be worked on. So it's not ideal, not perfect. But you're not alone. You have your husband, you have your wife. They support you, or they do 10 million taivas for you despite whatever their flaws may be. And frankly, in the bedroom, you're not alone. Even when you're not physically together, you have someone with you, and you're not alone. And you need to think, what about all those people that are alone? What about them? Are you daven for them that they should be in that state where they shouldn't be alone either? And have a karas atayv that you're not. And then that you have your physical connection. Same idea. Whatever issues, human issues there are, but the same idea. You have the fortune to be physically with your wife, with your husband. And how many people are alone? Whether they are single, didn't yet find their shidduch, whether they are divorced, whether they were widowed, whatever the case may be. And you have something that they lack and they're missing, and it's a very lonely place. And we have to put it in perspective. It may not be perfect, but Baruch Hashem, you have that. And you have a karas atayv for that, and you daven and have empathy for people that are not there yet, that they should come to be zeicha, to Mesas Hashem, to be in that matzav, to be able to have that wife or husband like you have, and to not be alone like you're not alone, and to have a healthy physical relationship that they don't have right now, and to be empathetic about that, and to care about them because of that, and ask Hashem to fill their needs, just like you have them, Baruch Hashem. But that feeling of having those things should eclipse the negative feelings. That is the yesod that Rav Pam is trying to say here. Rav Zilk Pliskin cites a case of a husband and wife who were trading blame for not having looked up a correct current address of a destination they sought. Then as they were arguing with each other, a blind man, he says, maybe it's Eliyahu HaNavi in disguise, a blind man stopped, excuse me, can you help me cross and walk me to the bus stop? All of a sudden, they both were aware from the blindness of this person, the precious gift of eyesight that Hashem blessed them with, and they ended their unproductive bickering. They stopped arguing. And whenever later they got into a similar fight, that blind man's lesson reminded them of how blessed they were. And their gratitude eclipsed their arguing. So Hakaras HaTayv is a component of love, and it overshadows it. True love can prevent disagreements from becoming bitter quarrels. Sham Shulfal Hirsch says in Tehillim, this is in Mishlei, his Pirush in Mishlei, Perek Yud Pasuk Yud Beis, that if two people have an unfriendly feeling towards each other and they take offense at anything and everything between them, harsh feelings are not the outcome of a quarrel, they're the cause of it. Very often your harsh feelings, your unfriendly feelings, create that machlaikis. It's not the other way around, that whatever the issue of the machlaikis was caused the unfriendliness. But the unfriendliness created the trigger to create that argument. So remember this. The momentary negative feeling is a reflex in nature. That does not cause machlaikis. The momentary feeling that you have that's negative, that's normal, that's natural. Even the Mesil Shisharim, when he talks about Kas, he acknowledges this is something that not everyone can do. The Chafetz Chaim, from what I understand, we're going to learn later, he has a chapter on anger. He worked very hard to remove that from him. So you could ask Hashem to help you remove those negative feelings. But the initial negative feeling, that's not the issue. The issue is holding on to it and not letting it be overridden by love and compassion and akaras atayv towards your husband and your wife. Bracha v'atzlacha.